I got a feeling some of us today perhaps are feeling a little drained, right? Yeah, this means yes. This means yes. Go ahead and admit it. You feel a little drained, a little tired, a little fatigued. But speaking of that, last Sunday was a tremendous day. We had a wonderful time here. And as we were getting ready to, after our early service, 8:30, and then 11 o'clock service and Sunday school time in between, we got ready, didn't have my clothes packed, so we rushed to the house after our service last Sunday and rode down as quick as we could to Glenville, Georgia, to Calvary Baptist Church. It's about a 3.5-hour drive. By the time we got there, it was like close to 5:30. The service starts at 6. We had just enough time to go and take a couple of suitcases, throw them out in this little apartment that's right there on the church property where we stayed all week from Sunday to Wednesday. And just enough time, you know how it is when you drive for about 3-4 hours, and just enough time to make our way over to the church, set up everything we need to get set up. And, you know, honestly, beloved, I was feeling a little fatigue. I said, Lord, you're going to have to refresh me. And I said, Lord, I'm just after preaching and then traveling and such, and then the week before being at the funeral home the night before up above Athens, bottom line. But I'll tell you what, God is so good. I said, God is so good that I said, Lord, you're just going to have to refresh my heart. And the Lord just came on me, and I praise him for it. God has a way of refreshing us. God has a way of reviving our hearts. And so you're here today, and you say, you know, I really need to get refreshed and revived. I need my heart renewed. Well, I've got good news for you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up with wings as eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. And there's just something about it. We get refreshed. Speaking of getting tired and fatigued, I heard about a pastor who had been at church all day and preached several times, and he got home, and he said to his wife, he said, you know, I'm kind of tired. And she said, why are you tired? He said, well, I've been preaching today. And she said, well, you know, I'm kind of tired too. And he said, well, what are you tired for? She said, I had to listen to all of them, all the messages. Anyway, but listen, on the way home, we got the services ended on Wednesday night, and we came in. We spent some time at the church on Thursday, then headed back home. And on the way home from Glenville, we traveled I-16. And anyway, we were on our way home, and about the time we got into Jasper County, the red light on the dash came on. Here's what it said. BATTERY. What's that spell? Battery. How many know that's not good? The red light comes on the dash and stays on. Well, we're about on the other side of the church here. I need to stop by the church and do some things, catch up and so forth. So I said, I tell you what, we're just going to leave the car running in case it won't crank. We'll cut it off. And so I ran in and did some things, stayed here about 15 minutes or so, the car running. Got back in the car. By that time, it was a little bit later that night. And then we made our way. As we were pulling in the driveway, the car cuts off and will not crank. It just goes doorknob dead, duh. I mean, it just dropped off. And come find out, the battery is drained. The battery was drained completely. Well, my question is, was it the alternator putting out enough electricity to charge the battery, or was it just the battery by itself? I'll finish the story in a few minutes, but hold that thought for a few minutes. Here's why. Sometimes our batteries get drained. And I've been thinking about that. The Lord put on my heart a message that I've been thinking this week and praying about drained out to be filled up. Drained out to be filled up. If you're taking notes, that's the title of the message. Drained out to be filled up. And we're going to consider a man who was drained out. Even the best of men, the greatest of saints of God, sometimes get drained, sometimes get fatigued. But oh, wait a minute, God knows how to revive our hearts. And so today we're going to consider a man who was such, who felt drained and felt like he was getting fatigued. And we'll see why. This man's name, and you see it on the screen, his name is Elijah. Say that with me. Elijah. Say it again. Elijah. Drained out to be filled up. Here's where we're going in the message today. Never preached this message. Never preached from the text before. God gave it to me this week to give to you. And I trust it to be a blessing, not only to you, but me as well. Drained out to be filled up. And here is the two parts of the message. We'll read the text in a moment. Here it is. Number one, what drains our spiritual batteries? What drains our spiritual batteries? What is it that's draining your battery? And then number two, what renews or what charges our spiritual battery? Those are the two questions that we want to address today as we take our Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. Turn please to 1 Kings chapter 18. And as we're turning to 1 Kings chapter 18, I'm sorry, chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. We'll go back to 18 in a moment. But here's where we're going in this account. We're going to begin reading in chapter 19. But before we do, let me just briefly go through what the direction of the message. And some of you today, you may not be drained today, but it might be this afternoon you get that telephone call and all of a sudden you get drained. It might be that unexpected thing that happens this week and all of a sudden you're feeling drained. It might be some expectations that you're expecting something to happen and it doesn't happen the way you want it to happen. And the next thing you know, you feel tired and fatigued. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Oh, yeah. You know what I'm talking about. So in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, we are introduced to this man, a Tishbite, named Elijah. And we'll find out in this text that this man named Elijah is in the will of God. God says, go hide yourself, and then God says, go show yourself. All of God's divine economy is based upon him preparing his people for the work that he has called them to do. In this case, it was Elijah who stood and who was told to go to the brook of Cherith, and the ravens fed him, yea, provided. However, I might add, the brook dries up. That is, it goes dry. What do you do when your brook dries up? That's a whole other message. You might be in the will of God now, but for some reason, some troubles and trials, problems are coming your way, and you don't know what you're going to do. You don't know how you're going to fix it. You say, dear God, I believe I'm serving you. I believe I'm in your will. Well, where God guides, thank God he provides. And then we're going to see in a moment how the Lord led Elijah from that brook to a place called Zarephath, and a widow's picking up sticks, as you'll notice here, and she's getting ready to die, and God provides for her and provides for his servant Elijah. How many believe that God provides for his servants? Amen. The Lord provides. He does, because he's Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And then in chapter 18, as we move in the life and the narrative of Elijah, we find out he is challenging 450 and 400 false prophets, namely 850 prophets. And he says to them, if your God's God, send the fire. But if my God's God, he'll send the fire. You know the account. When the fire falls, the Lord is glorified. When the fire falls, the devil's crowd is horrified. But when the fire falls, God's people are purified. And the fire fell. But you know what happened after that? Because Elijah makes his way upon the mountain. It hadn't rained for 3.5 years. And then he prays and it rains just like according to the word of the Lord. And you'd think that he'd be shouting. You'd think that he'd be praising the Lord. And yet we'll see in this account a woman named Jezebel. Say that name with me. Jezebel. There were two wicked individuals in the northern kingdom of Israel, namely Ahab. Say that name with me. Ahab, say it again, Ahab and Jezebel, one of the most wickedest queens that had ever lived. And so she found out about Elijah and this killing, slaying of these 850 prophets. And you'd think that she'd have a repentant of heart. You'd think that these two leaders would say, God is God. He sent fire down from heaven on Mount Carmel. We'll worship him. Not so. She says to her king, get Elijah, I'm going to send a telegram. I'm going to kill Elijah. Before the sun goes down tomorrow, Elijah will be history. Now, of course, I'm paraphrasing, but you see how raging mad she is over the prophet of God. Now, drained out to be poured, drained out to be filled out, filled up. And here, Elijah, you'd think that he says, I'm not scared of some lady. whether she's queen or not. You'd think if he was not fatigued, if he was not physically worn out, if he was not emotionally distressed, he would have said, come on, bring it on. But he didn't. He was tired. He was fatigued, like many of you. Like many of you. Like many of you. That when you get down, the enemy, the devil knows you get down. And so what does he do? He runs for his life. He is absolutely traumatized by all the demands he's had, all the problems he's had, and now he finds his way under a juniper tree, a brown tree. Have you been under the juniper tree lately? Probably some of you are there right now. You're there, and you're licking your wounds. You're saying, dear God, why am I having to experience all this stuff, physical problems and all kinds of problems? We'll see that in a moment, how the Lord deals with his servant. But then we come to the place where God says, by the way, he travels about 111 miles to get to that brown tree, running from Jezebel, I might add. Now he travels another 200 miles, a total of 311 miles, if you're wondering. He goes from Jezreel to Beersheba, and then from Beersheba down to Mount Horeb, namely where Moses received the Ten Commandments. He's on the run. And God's got a word for his servant. Aren't you glad that when we get down, God knows how to get us up? I need somebody to help me today. When we get down, thank God, God knows how to get us up. And some of you are down today, but you don't have to stay down, praise God. God can get you up. God can breathe life in you. God can tell you everything's going to be okay. The Lord says, I'm going to carry you. The Lord says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. So whatever you're facing today, I want to tell you, praise God, our God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll breathe life into you. He'll give you a double portion of his spirit. He will guide you. In the night and in the day, he's good all the time. He knows our needs. He knows every hair on our head. He knows when one sparrow falls to the earth. He knows what we're going through. Hallelujah. We serve a great God. Yes, we do. And I want to praise him today because in the mountain, God passes by in the form of a strong wind and then an earthquake. The rocks are literally falling. And then a fire, you can see the fire. And yet, through all of that, his servant Elijah, God is speaking through the still small voice, like God is going to speak to you today. And we bless him for it, and we praise him for it. God was not in the wind, he was not in the earthquake or the fire, but he was in the still small voice. Will you hear God today? Will you hear God today? Will you listen to him today? I want to invite you to look with me, please, in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. Go back to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. And as we read the Word of God, will you stand to your feet as we read 1 Kings chapter 19, and we'll get back down to the message, which is this: what drains our spiritual batteries? And number two, how can God renew our spiritual batteries? He wants to do it today. He did it for Elijah. He'll do it for you. In 1 Kings 19, if you're there, say amen. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And then in Jezebel, verse 2 of chapter 19, Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also if I make not thy life as thy life of one of them by tomorrow. About this time, she's sending a telegram to Elijah saying, I'm going to kill you, son, and you better run. Verse 3, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. And he came to Beersheba. How far is that? He ran 111 miles. I say ran. He made his way out of this particular location. I'll show you on a map in a moment. And he went to a place called Judah and left his servant there. Verse 3, the same servant was probably on the mountain when he saw the rain and the size of a man's hand, the cloud and the rain came. Verse 4, but he himself, being Elijah, went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. Can you imagine? This is the prophet of God. This is the man of God. He's 1 minute facing 850 prophets calling fire down from heaven, and now he's down in the dumps. You ever been down in the dumps? You ever been down to the dumps? You ever felt low? You ever felt like nobody cared? You ever felt like, dear God, where are you in this? It's too much. I can't take this anymore. Here's what he said. He said, look at it. He came, verse 4 again, he set himself to a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested himself that he might die and said, it is enough. I can't take it anymore. It's enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. In other words, I've had enough. I can't take any more. But wait a minute. Let me say this. Hey, y'all, look at me. Had he been physically charged up, had he not have been through all that he'd been through, he would not have been saying this. But I want you to learn this lesson, and this is a lesson for all of us today. The best of men are just mere men at their best. Hear me. Elijah got down. Moses got down. These were great men of God. And it's not wrong to get down, but hey, wait a minute. You don't have to stay down. Somebody say amen. I said, you don't have to stay down. You might get down, but you don't have to stay down. Watch this. And then in verse number 5, and as he lay and slept, he was totally exhausted. You ever gotten that way? Exhausted. He was totally, he lay and he slept under a juniper tree. Verse 5, behold, then the angel touched him. Underline that word touched him. We'll come back to it. He touched him and said, arise and eat. And he looked and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water in his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. Sometimes rest is God's celestial nurse. Verse 7, and the angel of the Lord came unto him the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose, verse 8, and did eat and drink, and he went in his strength that meat for 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Again, that's 200 miles from where it was. Look at verse 9. He came hither unto the cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand. God told him, go forth, verse 11. Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind ripped the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. And the Lord was not in the wind, or after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Let's say that together. A still, small voice. One more time. Oh, God, give us ears to hear the still, small voice. Verse 13, and it was so when Elijah heard it. Elijah heard it. Can you hear it now? Have you got the earwax out of your ear, spiritually speaking? God spoke, and Elijah heard it. God speaks through his word. Look at this. And it said to Elijah, heard it, and he wrapped his face in the mantle, that is his cloak, and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there was a voice that came unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I'm left here. And he said, and they seek my life to take it away. Elijah was licking his wounds. Elijah was down in the dumps. Elijah was saying, I'm the only one serving God. You ever get that way? You ever get that way? I'm the only one standing for right. Everybody on my job, they're heathen. Well, easy to get that way. But wait a minute, God reminded him, hey, look at verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, go return. That is, get back to where you began. Maybe God's saying that to you today. Go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be the king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. Underline this next phrase. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel Meholah, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Skip down to verse 19. Well, go back to verse 18. Verse 18. Yet God said, I have left with me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. Verse 19. So he departed thence. That is, Elijah departed thence. And he found who? Elisha. I'm going to tell you something. You get down, you get discouraged. There's something about it when you bless somebody else. God is sure to bring the blessing back to you. Maybe you're down today. Maybe you need to bless somebody today. Who is it that you need to bless today? Look at this, verse 19. He departed thence. He found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was the 12th. And he, the 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12th and Elijah passed by him. And look at this. He cast his mantle upon him. Oh, bless the Lord. He wanted to be a blessing to somebody. God said, I want you to be a blessing. Verse 20, he left the oxen and ran after Elijah, that is Elisha, and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave them to the people. And they did eat, and he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. This is the word of the Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Father, I love you and bless you today. Thank you for your great love and your grace and mercy and forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, we all stand in need. I do, and I'm convinced every man, every woman, every boy and girl here today stands in need of a touch from the Master's hand. We stand in need, Father, for rest in you. We stand in need, dear God, to hear you speak to us in the middle of the storms of life and troubles and trials. And we pray you'll get glory, Lord. Lost sinners will come, experience your grace, how it is amazing, your love, how it is unconditional. And dear Lord, your purpose and plan, which is absolutely satisfying to our soul. And we trust you, Jesus. You'll be seen and heard, and your word will come alive to our heart. Bless this service and thank you for it. And the changed lives. We give you glory now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Here's Elijah's travels. If you would follow me just for a moment. Notice on the screen, first of all, he went to this place called Carrot. I'm a man who I like to kind of see geographically. Where are we talking about? On a map. Here's the map. Here is Carrot. That is the Cherith, as some pronounce it, where he was told to go to the brook. The brook dried up. Next thing you know, he goes all the way up here to Zarephath. That's where he met the widow and her son. And then next thing you know, he goes from Zarephath to Mount Carmel. We went right here. This is a map of Israel, if you're wondering. This is a map of Israel. This is the Sea of Galilee, if you're wondering. Here's the Dead Sea. Here's the Mediterranean Sea. Nonetheless, he goes to Mount Carmel. Here's where he's on the mountain challenging the 450 prophets and 400 other prophets, 850 total. And then after that great victory where the fire fell and consumed the sacrifice, he makes his way over to Jezreel. And then from Jezreel, as I shared earlier, he makes his way after the wicked queen Jezebel says, tomorrow you're going to be dead. And he runs. He's running for his life. He's running from Jezreel down to here, Beersheba. Say that name with me. Beersheba. Say it again. Beersheba, 110 miles. We're not talking about getting in a car or an airplane. And so he's on the run. He's exhausted. He's literally physically worn out. And then he goes from Beersheba. After he drops his servant off, the word of the Lord came to him and said, I want you to go down to Mount Horeb. And so he goes another 200 miles down to Mount Horeb. And God comes to him and God gives him a word. He then makes his way back up to Damascus, but we're going to stop right there in his travels because Elijah, here's another map that shows Beersheba, Jezreel, it shows Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb otherwise known, and you can see the geographical Egypt on this particular map. And so what I want to do is go back now for a moment and start at the beginning. What in the world caused Elijah to experience what he experienced? Here's where we're going. Number one, the question is, what drains our spiritual batteries? What drains our spiritual batteries? And here's the answer. I believe the Lord gave me this because every one of us are in this category right now. Josh, your batteries get drained, you get tired, you get fatigued like Elijah did. And what drained our spiritual batteries? Three causes of draining our, at least three, there may be more, but at least three. And I suggest you write them down because probably these three are knocking at your door, or maybe they're already in your house. Number one, the first cause of draining our spiritual battery is this: tomorrow's troubles. Tomorrow's troubles. Something about it. It's just something about tomorrow's troubles. I mean, look at verse number 2. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah and said, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow." About this time, Elijah's thinking about tomorrow. What's going to happen tomorrow? Can I be honest with you? The Lord Jesus put it this way: take no thought of tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought of itself. Sufficient is the day thereof, and the evil thereof. He's saying this. I don't know about you, but this is the message to me, because I have a tendency sometimes to get overwhelmed, overloaded. Sometimes some of you are overwhelmed. You're overworked and you're overworried. Somebody say amen. Overwhelmed, overworked, and overworried. That's what drains our spiritual batteries. And so, tomorrow, somebody put it this way: hey, look, tomorrow has enough troubles of its own. Don't borrow tomorrow's trouble. Live one day at a time. That was worth coming to church for. Tomorrow's troubles. Now, come on, y'all, be honest with me today. Will you be honest with me today? Isn't it tomorrow that you think about? What if this happens tomorrow? And what if this happens tomorrow? And what if I don't have Social Security tomorrow? And what if my house caves in tomorrow? And what if my health fails tomorrow? And what if my child does this tomorrow? And how am I going to be able to do all this scheduling tomorrow? I don't know about y'all, but every once in a while, I like to look at a map. How many like to, I say a map, a calendar. How many look at a calendar all of 2017 at one time? You ever do that? You ever look at 2017 at one time? Man, can that be overwhelming or what? I say, can that be overwhelming or what? When you got a lot of things to do and you're calendaring events and you're planning this and asking God this and this got to happen and this. I don't know about y'all, but some of you can relate what I'm saying. Sometimes it can be overwhelming. All that you got planned. And I know we ought to say, now y'all are spiritual. Y'all are more spiritual than I am. I know that, because you don't look like you ever get overwhelmed when you look at the calendar. But look, if you don't have a whole lot on the calendar to do, then no wonder you're not overwhelmed. But when you got a whole lot to do and you got a whole lot going on and there's a lot of irons in the fire, trust me, you will get overwhelmed. Amen and amen and amen. And when you got things that you can't control, but I know God's grace is sufficient. I'm preaching to myself today and I'm preaching to somebody else that's overwhelmed about tomorrow's troubles. What am I going to do about tomorrow's troubles? Well, can I say this? Sometimes we bring on unnecessary pressure on ourselves. Would you agree with me? Reminds me of the lady that went to the airport. And she was at the airport and she decided, she was a little hungry, so she decided to get a bag of cookies. She grabbed her a bag of cookies and said, "I think I'll sit down and wait for my airplane to take off." And so she went and sat down at the airport, and as she was sitting there, she was getting a little hungry. She looked over there on the table and saw the bag of cookies. She opened up the bag of cookies, reached in, grabbed the cookie, and took a bite of it. To her surprise, the man sitting next to her reached over in her bag of cookies, grabbed the cookie, and took a bite out of one of the cookies. She thought, "The nerve of this man to eat my cookies." And she took another cookie. He took a cookie. She took a cookie. He took a cookie. Finally, down to the very last cookie, she wondered, what in the world is he going to do? He reached over there, the very last cookie, and he broke it in two. That was all she could take. She said, "I can't take this anymore." She jumped up, stormed to her seat on the plane, sat down, zipped open her pocketbook, and there was her bag of cookies in her pocketbook. She thought she was eating hers, and she was eating somebody else's. Hey, can I tell you something? You might be borrowing somebody else's trouble, amen. You might be worried about something. By the way, do you know that we're told 40%, listen, 40% of those worries and cares, 40% of those worries and cares won't even happen at all. Somebody ought to shout. Woo! 40% of those worries aren't going to happen at all. Isn't that wonderful? I feel like shouting. Isn't that wonderful? 40% aren't going to happen at all. Hey, look, only 8%, 8%, 8%, One out of every 10 of those words you got, only one of them you need to be worried about. So the 40%, throw them away. Just throw them away. Get rid of them. Tomorrow's troubles. Number one, what causes our spiritual batteries to get drained? Tomorrow's troubles. Tell me, what do you got on your mind today about tomorrow? Are you going to say, Lord, I know that you can, I can trust you? Number two, not only tomorrow's troubles, what about today's pressure and stress? How about today's pressure and stress? Anybody feel stressed these days? You know, physics says stress is a pressure on an object that tends to debilitate it. A pressure on an object that tends to debilitate it. For example, this pen right here. Anybody got a pencil? This pen right here. Anybody got a pencil you don't want? Anybody got a pencil you don't want? Carmen, you want that pencil. I want to use a pencil that you don't. You got one you don't want? I need to borrow a pencil just for a moment. If you don't want it now, because you know this pencil has been tested. Thank you, Sister Betty. Isn't that so apt that the birthday girl gives me a pencil? Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, look, this pencil has been tested to hold and to withstand a certain amount of pressure. Had you ever in school see how much pressure that thing could take? You ever do your pencil like that? Do you ever do your pencil? It's been tested, man. It's been tested. They test these pencils. They build these pencils to be able to withstand a certain amount of pressure. But guess what? If you put too much pressure on it, it's going to break. I'll tell you something. The Bible says that God knows our frame. He knows we are but dust. God knows just like you got a pickup truck. How many men got a pickup truck? Let me see your hand. They test them things and they know how much weight they can put in the back of that pickup truck without loading it down. And so it is. God said, I know your frame. I know you're but dust. God says, I know what you can handle. Isn't it good to know that what may come our way, thank God, our Father is orchestrated, and what He allows to come our way, praise God, His grace is sufficient. And He said, I know what you can hold in your wagon. Sometimes your wagon might get full. Sometimes your wagon, the old wheels won't roll on your wagon. But I'm telling you, thank God that God said He would see us through, and praise His holy name. Whatever you're facing today, I want to tell you, God's our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. You can run to the Lord. And you can trust in Him. Pressure, stress of today. What are you facing today? What is it today that is on your mind? You know, we bring on a lot of unnecessary pressure, don't we? You ever bring on a lot of unnecessary pressure on yourself? I believe some of us bring on unnecessary pressure. It reminds me of the man who fell out of a boat one time, and he went up under the water. He was fell out of the boat. He was in the water. He fell under the water, and he was gurgling and choking, and he came up and said, help, somebody help me. He went under the water again. He came up out, help, somebody help me. He went under the water again. He came up out of the water, gurgling, help, somebody help me. He went under the water again. He came up the third time, and he said, if somebody don't help me, I'm going to let go of these anchors. Have you got a hold of an anchor? Yeah, you got a hold of an anchor, don't you? See, sometimes we take on a whole lot of stuff we weren't meant to take on. Maybe today the pressure and the stress of life has got you down. Look at this. This is what happened to Elijah in verse number 3. He saw and he heard that old wicked queen Jezebel. Tomorrow I'm going to kill that prophet if it's the last thing I do. Ahab, go tell that servant, give him a telegram. Tell Elijah tomorrow the sun goes down, I'm going to kill him if it's the last thing I do. Well, Elijah hits the news. He says, man, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I'm not about to stay right here. I'm gone. And so he takes off. He takes off. He takes off. He's running. He's just had a great victory. He's already, in chapter 18, won the battle. Now he's running for his life. And guess where he ends up? Over in Beersheba, 110 miles. What are the causes to drain our spiritual batteries? Number one, tomorrow's troubles. Number two, today's stresses and problems. How many got stress on you today? I believe you do, don't you? Amen. You got stress on you, don't you? Can I get somebody to say, yes, I got stress on me? Come on. You know what I'm talking about. Hey, look. Number three, what causes our spiritual batteries to be drained? Not only tomorrow's troubles and today's stress and pressure. Number three, what about yesterday's lack of faith? Yesterday's lack of faith. Yesterday's failures. Man, that drains our battery. Well, this happened yesterday, and we look back on our life, and I couldn't do this, and I didn't get this job, and this isn't going right, and my child won't change, and I'm not doing, you know, yesterday's failures can just creep upon us. But wait a minute. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up with wings as eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. Our dash light came on. It said B-A-T-T-E-R, battery. I said, all right, either it's the battery low. How many know men that work on your vehicles know that it could have been the alternator? And so I got to checking it out. And so I pulled the negative post off the battery. And we're told if it runs with a negative post off the battery, then the alternator's putting out. But if it cuts off, the alternator's bad. I pulled the negative post off the battery, hoping it was just the battery. Somebody say amen. But the thing cut off. And so not only got a bad battery, but I got a bad alternator. What do you do when you have a bad alternator? You go get another one and put it on, amen? And so I went up to the AutoZone up in Covington all of this the other night. And how many know that they put those alternators on the very back of the engine? When's the last time you changed an alternator? Has it been lately? Hey, it's a lot of fun, I'll grant you. But if your alternator goes out, don't call me, call Ken, amen? Don't call me, call Bud, call somebody else. But I climbed up in the engine. That's the advantage of being kind of small. Can I get a witness? Anyway, I climbed up in the engine, changed that baby out, changed the alternator out, changed the battery out, fired up that baby. Woo! That thing cranked right up. And I said, glory! I'm going to take her for a spin. You know, you got to get one of them crowbars, you know, and you got to, you know, it's got that little lever thing, that little adjustable thing, and you got to get the belt off first and all of that. You men know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I'm saying this, when your batteries get drained, you might need to get them charged up, all right? God can charge them up today. Hey, look, what drains our batteries? Tomorrow's troubles, today's stress and problems, yesterday's failures, and lack of faith. Is there anybody here that's under the juniper tree? Elijah's saying, dear God, I expected things would change when the fire came down from Mount Carmel. And God, you sent the fire. Lord, I was expecting a revival in Israel. I was expecting God for Ahab's heart to be changed and Jezebel's heart to be changed. God, I'm all alone. I'm all by myself. I'm fatigued. I'm tired. He's under the juniper tree. How many would be right there? You've been there too, haven't you? Hey, you've been there too. His expectations were dashed. What causes your spiritual batteries to be drained? You're expecting something that don't happen the way you expected. Next thing you know, you're under the juniper tree. Go ahead. I'm history. I might as well end it. It's enough. I can't handle it anymore. Well, there's old Elijah. And God said, hey, Elijah, I got news for you, son. I want you to get up. Now notice, here's my second part of the message. What renews our spiritual batteries? What renews our spiritual battery? Ready for this? I'll try to land this plane in a moment. Here it is. It's good stuff, man. It's good stuff. And I'll tell you what, I've been praying today. Lord, will you do it in my life? Number one, the touch of God will renew your spiritual batteries. The touch of God will renew your spiritual batteries. Where'd I get that? Hey, look at it. Here it is right here in verse number 5. Look at this, verse 5. And he lay and he slept under a juniper tree. Behold, then the angel, that's a theophany, a pre-incarnate Christ, the angel of the Lord, the angel did what? Touched him, and he said, arise and eat. How many know that when God touches you, your batteries will get charged up? How many need a touch from the Master today? I need God to refresh me today. Oh, yes, I'm reminded in the book of Luke, chapter 13. Jesus is walking. He sees a woman. She's bound down with a curvature of the spine. It's in Luke chapter 13. And Jesus sees her. And the Lord comes over to where the woman is bound down. How long has she been bound down? 18 years. Why is she bound down? Satan. Jesus said Satan had bound her down. And Jesus gets over. He knows if he can touch you today. Hey, listen to me. I don't know about you, but I need the Lord to touch me. I do. And God says, there's the word of God. Luke records these words. He made his way over to that woman. A curvature of the spine. That means she was bent completely over. She could not straighten up. She lived like this for 18 years. But Jesus showed up. And Jesus showed out. And I want to tell you something. When Jesus shows up, praise God, things happen. And he reached over and he touched that dear woman. He touched her and he said, "Woman, thou art loosed." What do you think happened? Tell you what, brother, when Jesus says something to happen, it's going to happen. Oh, yes. Anybody needs to get loose today? "Woman, thou art loosed." And boy, she straightened right up. Power of God. I'm telling you, God's able to straighten you up. Hey, look, this one preacher I used to know, he said, "Man, I'm going to quit preaching." I said, "Well, why?" He said, "I'm going into the undertaking business. And I'm going into the funeral business." He said, "Why?" I said, "Why?" Others said, "Why?" He said, "It's the only business when you get people straightened out, they stay straight." Sorry, I had to say that. Anyway, a merry heart do good like medicine, all right? Hey, look, when Jesus touched her, there are times when I get heavy-hearted. Is there anybody here that's heavy-hearted? Is there anybody here that's got a heavy burden? Is there anybody here that needs a touch from the Master? When I get heavy-hearted, I say, "Oh, God, I need my strength renewed. I need my faith to be lifted up. I need, Lord, a double portion of your spirit. Dear God, the problems, the pressures, Lord, the obstacles, the enemy, the devil, the world, the flesh, dear God, strengthen us." Is there anybody here today that says, "Lord, touch me today and revive my heart"? I believe there are some today that need renewal. Not only the Lord, the touch of God, but what about the rest of God? R-E-S-T, the rest of God. You see, there's the rest of faith, there's the test of faith, and then there's the best of faith. A faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. Your faith is going to be tested. Is there anybody here? Your faith is going through the test. Hey, look, the rest of God. Not only the touch of God, but look at this. In verse number 6, starting verse 5, he lay and he slept under a juniper tree. He slept. Sleeping's not a sin, amen, unless you sleep all day long too, amen. Hey, look, God's celestial nurse might just put you to sleep. Can I say something? You mamas, don't be embarrassed when I say this. How many of you ever had little small children over there, Morgan? And sometimes they get a little whiny, don't they, when they need a? I said they get whiny when they need a? Yeah, take a nap, all right? Let God, the celestial nurse, put you to sleep. Just let the Holy Spirit, let the celestial nurse. And you see verse 6, look at it. "And he looked, and he behold, and there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he didn't eat and drink, and he laid him down again." Wow. There's a rest that remains to the people of God. That's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." That's Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Rest. Sometimes we think that's a dirty word, but God gives us rest. Hey, don't look at me. How many of you are serving God? You're a Sunday school teacher, you're a deacon, you're on the building team, you're on the usher team, you're serving God, you're here today, raise your hand. How many are serving God? You're a social, Wanas or whatever, you're Wanas or whatever. Hey, look, we're not to rest from the work, but we're to rest in the work. Some of you get up tomorrow morning, school. Work. I know some of you don't like your job. Look at me. I know you don't like your job. Make the best of it. Have a good attitude about it. And learn to rest in the work that you're in. And realize that's where God's got you. And enjoy the journey. And the church said, amen. Not rest from the work, rest in the work. I'm praying, beloved. I'm praying today. I'm going to be at the altar in a moment. I'm going to say, dear God, teach me how to rest in the work. Not from the work, but in the work. And brother, there's a difference in resting from the work and in the work. I'm going to believe that God can give you rest in your work. He can and He will. Bless His holy name. Well, the touch of God, the rest of God, and then notice the voice of God. Look at it. Oh, this will refresh you. This will revive your batteries. Verse number 12. And after the earthquake and the fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. God said, Elijah, get down there to the Mount Horeb. Here comes the wind. I'm talking about a strong wind, hurricane-like wind. The rocks were falling all over around him. Noise. And then comes the earthquake, and then comes the fire. Man, can you imagine experiencing all this? And Elijah's probably scared to death. And God said, it's not in the earthquake. Look, it's not in the wind. It's in the what? The still, small voice. Sit with me. The still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. Last in closing, God wanted to bless Elijah. And then God, wait, don't miss this. Don't miss it. Please don't miss it. God wanted to bless Elijah. And then God wanted Elijah to go and bless somebody else. That's where you're going to get renewed. That's where your spiritual batteries. Look at this, verse 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha. Look at this. He found Elisha. Yep. And the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. How many want to be a blessing to somebody else? How many are going to purpose in your heart to be a blessing to somebody else? Hey, you can't be a blessing to somebody else until you first are blessed by God. And if you're tired and fatigued, and if you're down and discouraged, and if you're ready to give up like Elijah, you need God to charge your spiritual batteries. Will you do it today? Ask God to, through His touch, through His rest, through His voice, and then you can find somebody and be a blessing to them. God, you got to refresh my heart first. Lord, you got to refresh my heart. And then, God, I want to be a blessing to somebody else. Maybe today we're not a blessing because we need God to renew, charge up our spiritual batteries. I wonder today if you'd stand to your feet.